Hello and welcome. Thanks for being here. Another episode of The Nonprofit Show. Julia Patrick and I are excited to have with us today our guest, Derek Baker. And Derek is the president of Dickerson Baker and Associates. He's here to nerd out with us about a research that he recently released with his firm. And we're going to talk about donor sentiment in the quarter we are currently in, Q4 of 2022. So Derek, before we jump into this conversation, we want to remind our viewers and our listeners who we are. So hello to Julia Patrick, CEO of the American Nonprofit Academy. Again, I'm Jarrett Ransom, your nonprofit nerd, CEO of the Raven Group. We are honored to have the continued support, investment, trust, and ongoing relationship truly with these presenting sponsors. They allow us to have these conversations day in and day out. And I want to mention that they are all unscripted. So we are really just here for the conversation and here to learn. So thank you for believing in us. So I want to give a shout out to Bloomering, American Nonprofit Academy, Fundraising Academy at National University, Be Generous, Your Part-Time Controller, Staffing Boutique, Nonprofit Thought Leader, and The Nonprofit Nerd. If you haven't checked out these companies, I encourage you to do so as soon as we wrap up today's episode. And if you missed any episodes, good news, you can find them. We've archived all of them. They're accessible in an extreme library. So you can find them on Roku, YouTube, Vimeo, as well as Amazon Fire TV and podcast form. So wherever you stream your podcast, go ahead and queue up The Nonprofit Show as we're going to queue up our guest today. So hello and welcome to you, Derek.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks for the invitation. And it's exciting to come on with you.
We're excited to have you, very eager. So let's get started, Derek. You are president at Dickerson Baker and Associates. Tell us a little bit about what you and your colleagues do in the sector.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that opportunity. We are a nonprofit consulting firm, and we work with nonprofit organizations all over the United States. There's about 30 full-time members on our team. We have an office in the Dallas area, about 15 minutes from DFW, and here in Raleigh, where I'm located today. I'm actually heading from here to Dallas this afternoon. So, but we kind of are based in a philosophy that there's three factors to nonprofit success. And if you can get these three things right, the equation is right, almost endless possibilities. But it comes down to abundant resources, talented people, and effective strategy. And so we kind of focus on those three areas. We have a staffing division that works specifically on helping organizations build their nonprofit staffing. We have a whole fundraising solutions package that we do, as well as strategy. So those are the three things that we work with. We principally work in the faith-based sector, but not exclusively.
Gotcha. That's fascinating. Well, you've done a lot of research, it seems like, and we're really excited to have you come on The Nonprofit Show to talk about something that's really incredible, because we're talking about research that's applicable right now as
Absolutely.
We sit in this quarter. But even though it's right now in immediate, you have a perspective that's multi-year. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so we've always had a strong emphasis in our practice on data and really kind of using the data, evidence-based models, understanding, you know, our team members all have kind of 20 some odd experience, and they come from a lot of different places, but we really want to go into the data, right? So we tend to be a little bit of a data nerds ourselves in terms of, you know, what's happening. So we had a PhD researchist on our staff, and our whole approach to clients is kind of, we start with an assessment, then we build a plan, and then we help them deliver results. And so but during COVID, the research kind of went away a little bit. You know, we were in this period where it almost didn't make sense to do research for clients, because everything was changing, right? So any findings you would have in that snapshot would be changed by tomorrow.
Right.
So our researchers, this is Doc Vertz, he's a PhD researcher. We said, Doc, why don't we do some research on the industry? And so we had done a little bit of that before, but what we decided to do was do a donor study in 2020, right in the thick of COVID, because all our clients were asking us, what is going to happen, right? What's going to happen with giving? Nobody knew, right? It was crazy. So we said, I always say the best way to find out information about your donors is to ask them. So we asked our clients, you know, said, hey, if you want to participate in this, we're going to do a major research study. We're going to send you all the links and everything. Dr. Ertz is going to create it. You send it to your donors and we'll tell you, you know, what they're saying. And so that was kind of the first study. And it showed in the thick of all this, the economy being battered and teetering due to the lockdowns and everything else, that donors were telling us we're going to get more. And so we were able to tell our clients kind of in the thick of that, right in the summertime, saying, don't panic, don't be afraid. Donors are digging into their pockets and they're going to give more. And that's exactly what happened, right? We did it again the next year and they said the same thing. And so this is the third year in a row we're doing this donor study. We're going to do it every year because it gives us a nice longitudinal picture, but it's been positive to date. And so this study, I was really apprehensive to see what was going to happen. So, because the times again are changing, right? With the economy down and everything else, everybody's thinking again, what's going to happen?
Yeah, so the economy, the workforce, all of that, what we talked about earlier. What can we expect in this Q4? And just again, like we're currently in it. We're in Q4 2022 right now. Oh, yeah. So what can we expect?
Well, so I'm going to give the bad news first. Okay.
So
make sure that we stay on and get the good news here to bookend. But the bad news is donors are exceptionally pessimistic about the economy. They are really only about 5% of donors responded to the survey. We had thousands of folks, almost 3,000 folks responded to the survey from across the country. So high level of confidence, you know, 95 point something confidence ratings, 2.5% margin of error. We've gotten a big enough file size now to be able to have a very, and of course, Doc is a professional researcher, but donors are just very pessimistic. The vast majority of donors, close to 2/3 say we are sinking into a recession. Others, 30% kind of say we're already there. You know, only 5% have a positive view of the economy. 3/4 of donors are reporting pretty significant decreases in their financial security, in the financial markets, and just feeling less financially secure than they have in a long time. That's the bad news, right? Here's the good news. They are still telling us, 85% of donors are still saying to us in this survey, they plan to give at least the same or more in the year-end season. And so that's very consistent with the same, with what we had in the last two studies. So we are very cautiously optimistic that giving is going to hold steady for this fourth quarter.
Does your study track the amount of donations? Like, have we seen that value actually increase year over year? What are you seeing? Are you seeing in that?
Yeah. So we're asking folks to kind of tell us what they are giving. The study goes into a lot of details about what they're giving to, the causes that they are supporting, much they give total, right? And how many different organizations they are giving to. So it's like, how much do you typically give in a year? How many organizations does that split amongst? What are your priorities? What are your top priorities? And so we're able to kind of parse out, Doc was able to basically tabulate separately giving from kind of three key segments, what we would say kind of mainstream level giving, mid-level giving, and major giving. And one of the things that we did find in that kind of parsing that out, mainstream donors, mass level donors, they're pretty much saying we're going to hold steady, right? We're not going to give less. Very few of them, only about 12% said they were going to give less this year of the mass mainstream. The vast majority, almost 75%, said they're going to give the same. Where we saw the biggest intention towards giving more was in the major donor side, which is, I think that's really important from an actionable standpoint for organizations that are listening today. Is, hey, you've got some work to do this fall to engage your major donors, because that's where you're going to see the rise if you see a lift this year.
Right. Darren, may I quantify a major donor? Because I'm curious if you put a dollar amount on what a major donor or what a major gift is, because I know it changes from organization to organization. Did this study quantify that?
The study didn't, but we asked people kind of how much they gave each year. Uh-huh. And we kind of tabulated it out at $10,000 or more cumulative giving in any given year. We kind of, it's a fairly low threshold, I think, for some folks for major giving. But what we find is for the vast majority of nonprofit organizations, that would be considered a major gift. So that's kind of where we parsed it out.
That's fantastic.
Derek, did you see a shift in giving by sector by sector? Did you see a movement towards human services, away from culture, education? Did you have any flux that you saw there?
Absolutely. The by far and away, the thing that people are prioritizing kind of most, and I would preface this by saying, setting aside kind of the religious giving, right? Because that always tends to come first. And a big number of the folks that respond to this were faith-based donors. But you set aside the religion, like giving to places of worship or giving to their own church or whatever the case may be. The next most, by far, almost double anything else, was helping vulnerable people locally. And so that's really kind of what's driving, I think, in this context of, hey, we're in a tough situation. People are mindful that in tough economies, there's a lot of need out there. Coming out of COVID, there's been a lot of need. And so really focusing in on helping people locally who are vulnerable and hurting in this economic situation.
Wow. Now, given where we are in the midterms, at any point, does your research tag into political giving, even though they're not like technically 501c3s, but with some of the ways that political giving is structured, do you have a sense of that at all?
Yeah, so we've kind of studied that in the past, and what we have found is there's no correlation between elections and charitable giving. If you look through the last, going all the way back to the 50s, so we started to dig into Giving USA data, Charity Navigator data, and there's no dip at all. There's no statistical difference in election years is non-election years in total giving to philanthropy. And so we've asked that question. We didn't put it into this survey, but we kind of asked that question and answered it in previous 2 years ago during the presidential election. And it's not an impact. The thing that impacts, I think what we're finding is that the thing that impacts giving, and as we do this study, we're trying to figure it out a little bit more, but you've heard of the Consumer Confidence Index, right?
Sure.
I think that there's kind of what we are starting to kind of begin to formulate is this donor confidence index, right? Kind of overall confidence about, how they're feeling about financial security and the markets and other things, but, other factors. And we're not there yet, but what we're hoping to do as we do this study year by year is kind of come up with something that we can quantify as this is the donor confidence index, and here's how it compares to last year.
I can't wait to get my hands on this. So
yeah.
I mean, you're talking my language, my love language. In fact, I mean, this is some good stuff. I am actually presenting, I think it's Wednesday, with One Cause on a webinar that's all about going beyond the ballroom. And it truly talks about engaging with the constituency base at different levels. So I'm curious, your study, Derek, does it go into generational giving and just how we're seeing this trend?
Yeah, this one did not, but we've done prior research that has looked into that. It was remarkable, I think, to us during COVID in particular, kind of how some of that forked in the road, right? Wow. How traditional donors, and I think that we're still finding, right? We were asking questions about willingness to meet and how they prefer to meet. One of the things that we are finding in the study, though, and I think that what I read an article some time ago, I don't know if it was in the Wall Street Journal or somewhere, but how they talked about, this article talked about how COVID was not just a disruptor, COVID was an accelerator of certain trends, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you read about that, right? But here we are on Zoom and everything else. And mm-hmm. we're finding in our business, for instance, feasibility studies, right? For capital campaigns. Pre-COVID, we couldn't do any feasibility study interviews outside of in person. But now folks are so open to virtual. And I think in the industry, and we're seeing this, we just did a major study for a large client in Houston, and I'm actually going there tomorrow to present it to them. And so we asked kind of their donors kind of how they like to be engaged with. And so we're really seeing a movement in those donor responses towards moving away from visits, right? They are much less interested in personal visits. Only, I think, 6% of the folks that we interviewed, including the major donor, we did major donor interviews and we did tens of thousands of surveys, fewer than 6% said, I want to visit. They, most of them said, I don't want to visit, right? I like a phone call, a text, like keep me posted, invite me to events, invite me to conference calls, informational meetings, but only come and visit me if you have something meaningful to discuss, right? And so I think that's a significant trend. And I think COVID opened that door because we had to find other ways to engage donors from just the kind of traditional sit down and visit with them.
Yeah. We definitely have talked about how, you know, COVID has been a silver lining in some ways. You know, we've looked at the return on relationship now and really looking at just that human connection moreover, and then also the acceleration of technology. That definitely is a surprise. What other surprises did you and your team uncover during this study?
You know, I think the big surprise to me, here's the fear I kind of had in the back of my mind. As I was looking at kind of the trends we saw during COVID and how donors were responding during COVID, I was asking myself, is this basically a disaster relief funding happening in slow motion, right? Because we see that during the disasters like Hurricane Ian and right other hurricanes. We saw it during Hurricane Harvey. There's this surge and spike in giving when people respond. And this is one of the biggest disasters kind of we've had as a country since maybe 9/11 or, you know, other things. But COVID was that kind of a, you know, historical moment and a major disaster. So in my mind, I'm thinking, is this functionally, is this surge in giving that we saw in the last 2 years, is that functionally a disaster happening in slow motion? And now that disaster is kind of passed, right? Joe Biden says the pandemic's over and all that sort of stuff. And we're not wearing masks on airplanes anymore. And people aren't feeling it day to day like they have been feeling it. So our donors kind of pulling back and saying, okay, that disaster's over. Now you got this massive kind of news all the time about the economy, inflation, and all this bad news and the bear market. And I'm thinking to myself, are we going to see a major pullback in that context? And what surprised me was that donors are stepping up regardless, right? It surprised me that they're not slowing down. And that's to me, that's just a really positive thing about, right, the culture of generosity and giving we have in this country, particularly in the philanthropic circles. And it just warms my heart, right? It makes you feel good about America, right? that ultimately, I mean, why do people give, right? I mean, it's not just for the tax deduction, but we give away hundreds of billions of dollars in this country. And it's not just the wealthy. It's people across the board are reach out to help others in need. And it's like across the board of the political divide and everything else. And here we are, we're coming off of this major kind of surge in giving where people dug down deep. And now we're seeing this economic downturn and people are still digging deep into their pockets to help their neighbors in need. And I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. I also love reminding people the definition of philanthropy and being a philanthropist, and that nowhere in the definition, and I'm sure you know this, Derek, is a dollar amount, right? Nowhere
right.
is a dollar amount. It all comes from that true act of giving. And I love that. You know, one of the things Julie and I, we've said from the very beginning of these shows, March of 2020, is if you had a crystal ball, right, what would the future look like? And I'm curious if you can share some more hopeful signs for our future.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that we are really seeing some changes in the philanthropic sector. I think that COVID accelerated some of them. I think that we really have to be mindful of technology and how technology is giving us the opportunity to change our game. I think that, you know, as we look at the generational wealth, et cetera, you know, we have to really rethink how we do fundraising and how we engage donors for these younger generations and new generations. You mentioned philanthropy, right? Generosity and philanthropy. If you survey millennials will actually self-describe as being more generous than any other generation in almost history, right? Wow. And yet, as you said, it's not in giving, right? Because they're not in that part of their life cycle where they can give. You know, they're still saving for college, and the millennial generation has had some setbacks, you know, over the years. First of all, with the big recession in 2009, and then COVID and other things, So, but the generosity, right? The generosity that kind of, you know, is kind of, I think it's a gift, right? I mean, as a faith-based guy, I think it's a spiritual gift, but everybody has it, right? To a different degree. But when you've got that generous heart, and that's a generation that has a generous heart. And so learning how to tap into that differently, finding ways to tap into that differently. But I think that's, you know, I think people fret a lot about, you know, the millennial generation, but, you know, that sense of generosity that the younger generations have, if we can find a way to really tap into that, I think that we're going to see just a real expansion of giving. And like I said, how you define giving sometimes is a little different for different people, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to be across the board giving. And I think that's very helpful for the future.
You know, it's an interesting aspect of this because I always think about the millennial generation. You know, they've had public education that has actually had philanthropic endeavors required as part of their education, even in grade school. You know, it's not just selling Girl Scout cookies or whatever, but it's like, you know, entire school systems that are like, we close early on Fridays because we expect our students to volunteer the second half of the day, to these major drives that come in throughout the school system. And I think that's really changed the trajectory. And then you couple that with, you know, the digital access where these kids can, and now they're starting to move into their 40s, but they can access, you know, smaller amounts very quickly towards solving a problem. And that's the first of its kind.
Yeah. It'll be really interesting to continue to track that generation in particular, because it is such a big, you know, generation as they enter kind of those, you know, kind of those peak giving years. Because the reality is a lot of people have been tracking them right in the early years. But, you know, in those early years, you haven't reached your peak earnings. You haven't, you know, you're still saving for college. You're still saving to buy a house. You're right. You're saving for retirement. And so, you know, those peak giving years tend to be, you know, typically 55 and up, you know, I mean, it's, and as this generation gets older and begins to hit those kind of peak giving years, it'll be interesting to see what they prioritize, right? Because, right. Remember that yuppies used to be hippies, right? And, back in the day. And so they're, you know, priorities change and things change, but how they, you know, how they engage with the nonprofits they support, I think is key. And I think that's something we just have to, as an industry, be so on kind of on target for. You know, that's why I'm such a believer in data and evidence and talking to donors, surveying donors to understand how donors' interests are changing and the way that they want to give is changing.
You know, that's really interesting. I talked in the, I don't know, I want to feel like 2021. My brother, ironically, does very similar to work for me as me. He works at the University of Georgia. So I'm actually from the Carolinas, Derek, but he definitely is a bulldog. And he closed his largest gift in 2021 over the telephone. And it was a multi-million dollar gift. And this was not with a younger person. This was with an older, you know, woman. And it did not matter that they were not in person, that they were not over a cup of coffee. And to hear all that you've uncovered in this research and to know that, you know, you're going to do it again next year, see how these trends compare to one another. This is just fascinating, Julia. Yeah. I saw your mind blown as well.
This is the world I live for. I'm always so fascinated by this. And I think that, you know, Derek, I love that you and your associates have embraced this concept, because so often we talk about, you have to be passionate and you have to do this and you have to do that. And we don't load in knowledge or research to understand why we are doing something.
Right.
Especially where we are now. I mean, to your point, I mean, Jarrett and I are on every single day and we have seen phenomenal change. And we are continuing to see change within the sector. And knowledge is power. And so to borrow a phrase from Jarrett Ransom, the nonprofit nerd, kudos to you for you and your team advancing this information. Derek Baker, President Dickerson and Dickerson Baker and Associates, really doing some amazing work. Check out dickersonbaker.com. And I'm going to spell that out for our listeners. DICKERSON bakker.com, and you can check out so much of their information. Okay, now this is the big question, Derek. How do we get our hands on this information?
Well, actually, if you go to that website, dickersonbaker.com, and by the way, we bought multiple URLs with all kinds of different spellings. So if you spell it wrong, you're probably going to end up where you need to get.
I bet place. You did. That was very smart.
That's what we've done that with the American Nonprofit Academy. I got to just say.
Every which way somebody could misspell it, we own it. So it'll redirect. But yeah, go to the website. There's actually there should be a streamer right on the top of the website where you can click on it to download. And share it, you know, share it on your social media, share it with others. I think it's really good news that I'd love to see it kind of get shared widely around the industry, because I think it's going to be heartening.
You know, it's great. And we all need that. Now, I love that you've done that. Now, what can we look for in the future from you? What other type of research is coming down the pike?
Well, you know, we do two big studies a year. We do a lot of studies for clients, right? That are commissioned by clients. We get a lot of information from that. We kind of gather those up and try to track that. And some of that we sometimes put out to white papers or articles or blogs about. Well, we do two big studies a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And the one in the spring is a nonprofit leaders study. And the one in the fall is a donor insight study. And so we're starting to talk about what our study is going to be in the spring. The last one was on education. The one before that was on staffing. And so we're trying to identify what are some of the big kind of hot topics in the nonprofit industry. And if folks have any suggestions or things that they kind of want to suggest that we kind of focus that study on, it's a pretty big survey of nonprofit leader attitudes. And we try to usually hone in on a particular hot topic issue. We're going to be starting that study probably in November, starting to plan it, and it'll be in the field in January, February, and we'll be publishing it in March, April. So hope to have a chance to come back on. But yeah, if anyone has any suggestions, send them our way. You can go to the contact us on our website.
Okay,
well, I
would say right off, and I'm going to jump ahead of you, Jarrett, but I would love to know the correlation between this new segment of education in the nonprofit sector that universities are now offering, and how that is influencing our sector and how that's being welcomed and stewarded and cultivated. Because look at who's been running the nonprofit sector in this country for more than 200 years.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, well-intentioned people, but not always people educated in our sector. And so I think that's like such a big issue. And anyway, I that's like a hair on fire moment for me. Garrett, I jumped ahead of you.
No, that's okay. I'm going to submit mine online for sure. But it is definitely fascinating. All of this is fascinating to me. And, you know, we also have said in the very beginning, we think data is sexy. So having this back up our decisions, making informed, educated decisions, you know, that is definitely something that we need to do more of in our community, in our sector. You know, I feel so often we run from passion and we let passion make our decisions.
Right.
And, you know, there really is a lot of data, a lot of statistics. And you're right. I love that you said, and I just want to echo it. You know, if you want to know something, ask your donors. Ask
right.
them. You know, have conversations with them. And if we can just elevate that more and more, you know, I'm here to raise that flag with you, Derek. So
I would just, you know, I know we got a couple of minutes here, but I would add one thing to that. If you only have, one of the things that we're finding in our studies is this, donors don't want to necessarily meet as much. If you only have one opportunity to meet in person, I would make it an interview. I would not make it an ask, because you can ask, if you build the relational currency, you can ask on phone, text, et cetera, like you're saying that, you know, get to know your donors, number one.
Yeah, get to know them.
I like that. I like that approach.
Well, use that as an interview.
Yeah,
well, Julia Patrick and I, thrilled to have you here, Derek. Thank you so
Thanks.
Very much for joining
Invite
us today.
Me back.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's fun.
Yeah, and safe travels to Texas. I know you're heading out here briefly, and thanks for having lunch with us as well.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Julie, I'll let you take us off.
Hey, Jarrett, thank you. It's always wonderful to start the day with, as we always say, data is sexy. So we got a good start to the week.
Preach it, sister.
We're into this. So thank you so much. And our sponsors are into this as well. And we want to make sure that we reconnect our viewers and our listeners to Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, your part-time controller, Be Generous, Fundraising Academy at National University, Staffing Boutique, Nonprofit Thought Leader, and Nonprofit Nerd. These are the organizations that are with us day in and day out, coming up on almost 650 episodes. Most of these folks have been with us from day one. So we want to make sure that everyone understands how grateful Jarrett and I, as well as our teams, are for this. So, hey, as we like to end every episode, we want to remind everyone, ourselves, our viewers, our listeners, even our guest, stay well so you can do well. Thanks, everybody.